morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Great show today. Not a good show, great show. We're going to talk about a production that's going on down at the Unicorn in Stockbridge. A play that I originally saw back as a teenager called Elephant Man. And as I was saying to the guest just before air, you know, this is a perfect play for this time in history where everyone is so critical and judgmental and all these other things. I'm too old and too fat and too bald to have any time for that. I try to be nice to people. And I would ask you to do the same after you. And but more importantly, I would ask you to see this play because it will touch your heart and you will walk out a different person. I remember it as well as I remember most anything today. And it touched me when I did. It made me feel good, but it also made me feel bad. So here we go. I'm going to go around. I'm going to start. Chivalry's not dead. It's just old, fat, and bald me. So I'm going to start with the ladies. And Hannah, because we've known each other, please give us your name, the part you're playing, and how long you've been this. When you hear this, you're going to be surprised, audience, how long you've been with Berkshire Theater Group.
I'm Hannah Casella. I am a pinhead, Miss Sandwich, and Princess Alexandra in the play. I play a little collection of roles, which is very exciting. And I have been with Berkshire Theater Group since I was 9. So that was 16 years.
Quick math. But who's counting?
But who's counting? Not me. Not me.
That's right. And Anna, you went off to college and what? You graduated?
I graduated about 3 years ago. I was able to like come back here in the summers and keep returning to BTG. It's like the best place to be.
All right. Ula?
My name's Ula.
Ula. I can't, so small, I can't read it. I'm sorry.
No worries. My name's Ula Collins. I am playing Pinhead, the Duchess, and part of the ensemble in the show. This is my second show with Berkshire Theater Group. I was in Christmas Carol last fall.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I thought that the name was familiar. And now, Aaron, tell us about yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aaron Choi. I am playing Lord John and the Pinhead manager and part of the ensemble. And this is my second show with Berkshire Theater Group. I was in last summer's Young Frankenstein.
How wonderful. And for the audience, these are wonderful young actors. And really, and I have to say this before we go much further. Who was your director this time? Who directed your show?
Eric Hill.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the world of Eric Hill and Kate McGuire, both are very talented in so many ways. And Eric, for the name that rings a bell to the audience, he directed Christmas Carol, I don't know how many years. And he's just a wonderful person. He's a wonderful guy. And he's in the perfect, in my opinion, the perfect director for this particular play. Mm-hmm. Because he has all the insights and he feels it all. And I want to start with, here's a general question. And then whoever wants to jump on first, jump on. How did you prepare for this parts that you're playing?
Well, there's so much historical background that's going into this show. So I found I was doing a lot of research on just the Victorian society and the sideshow and kind of freak show performers that the show revolves around.
Cool. And what is you? What were you looking for? When I interview actors or people behind stage and all that, my audience likes to know the background. They, you know, how did you become this person, in your case, is persons.
Yeah. Well, for the pinheads, the characters are based around real performers who had microcephaly, and that's where the term pinhead came from, which is a disorder that results in shrinking of the brain, which kind of gives that small head look, which is why they're called the pinheads. And so, I mean, I looked a lot around physicality and what these performers were forced to do to survive in the Victorian society that they were part of.
Wow. Hannah, how about you?
Definitely. I was just going to say, too, Isadora Wolf came in the first week of rehearsals and gave us some movement tips and like ideas. She's so good at like finding one or two things to really like affect physicality for these characters. And we were able to like really play with it over the last few weeks, and Eric kind of gave us the freedom to do so. So like we were able to turn these characters that were real people into something that really fits the narrative of the show. And we're still, I feel like we're still playing too.
I mean, and Eric is really great for that, just because I feel like he simultaneously sort of runs like a tight ship and also gives us this space to, you know, collaborate and find our own path.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's and I've never been on, I was on stage. Your father asked me to sweep it one day. and I did a good job. He told me I could come back. But seriously, Eric has that quality that I think is paramount in a director. And that is, don't direct unless they need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you guys act all the time, so you work with different directors. But I've been doing this 20 years. I've had different actors, Broadway, movies, TV, and they said some of the best directors brought the best out in them. And that's what I'm hearing you guys say.
Yeah, totally. I think what's always inspired me about him is he really has the capacity to understand like what it means to be human. And I think like he's kind of always looking for that authenticity.
Exactly.
This play is so much about being human and humanity. I think he really like leads that charge very well.
Aaron, how about you?
So important the whole time. Sorry, I'm still on my train. Yeah.
No. I said to Aaron, I'm glad you're all up at this hour, because usually the actors. But Aaron, so tell me, how did you prepare?
So I actually wasn't familiar with this play at all when I was offered the roles. I, being in the theater zeitgeist, I knew of it, but I didn't know anything of the show. So I really came into this fully fresh, not knowing anything about it, reading the play, and then finding the, I believe, I didn't watch the movie, but there was a, I think a made for Australian TV special of the play that I watched, that's how I became familiar with it. And so for me, it was just kind of doing all the preliminary, just getting familiar with the show in general. And then I was able to, after reading the show and watching parts of it, getting some idea of what the characters are, but really being able to come into rehearsal and kind of finding these characters with Eric and having my idea of it, and then really Eric just kind of molding to which way he kind of sees the overall picture. So that's the big thing for me. But also, what's helped me is all these characters that we're playing have vastly different accents and dialects. And we've been working with Jennifer, who's our dialect coach. And it has been that has full really helped my define my different characters. Because for the Pinhead manager, I am Belgian, so it's a mix of French, but some French, but English, but so it's a very unique dialect, and it's probably the hardest dialect I've had. Just the dialect work has helped me just define each character because I have that, and then Lord John is a more RP style British, and then one of the other roles that I have is more Cockney. So jumping in and out of those.
Hello, lad. How are you?
Great, you're hired.
I know. Well, I was in the UK and you had to talk like that in the bars because if they knew you were an American, they'd start asking you questions.
But yeah, that's for me, that's been the big thing is just kind of doing the letting the general research of like getting familiar with the show to really lead me. And in general, as an actor, I do the research for each show that I'm doing, but I try not to go in too deep because I don't want to come into a rehearsal process with my own predisposition on characters, having kind of a base, but I don't want to have like, oh, this character is this, 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 and then the director say, well, that's not the vision I have for it. So, and I think that's something like I know I did it as a very young actor. I've been doing this for, I may look young, but I am definitely a little older. But I know that I know as a young actor, I definitely did that and I've experienced that. And now that I've been working for, I can honestly say I've been working for professionally for at least 15 years now. That it's now I kind of know how to get into rehearsal processes and have that kind of basis already.
When you guys first got to play, or you first read it and you wanted to be part of it, especially the pinheads, that was kind of cruel. I mean, when you think back, not kind of, that was cruel. But at that time, and that's kind of why I'm so involved, trying to get people to watch this play, to sensitize us. We can be as cruel today as they were then.
Absolutely.
And before I forget, I want to tell, it's at the Unicorn. And what here's what I love about the Unicorn. I love you almost are on the stage. You're that close to the play. And to me, there isn't anything better than having this connection with the actors. I don't know how do you guys feel that way too, because the audience is right there.
Yeah, I love the unicorn. It's so intimate and you don't miss a thing. You just like can feel the energy from the audience as soon as you walk out there. And I think it just like it affects the whole show. It makes the energy deepen. It makes the story come more alive. It's great.
And we have there's a couple moments in the show where actors are coming down through the aisles, and speaking to folks on the stage from the audience, and like that's the beauty of the unicorn. You could do that sort of thing.
And I do want to let people know too that one of the really, I think, wonderful things about the unicorn is, as I said, the connection that you have in the intimacy of the whole. It's not some big sprawling theater where you're disconnected from somebody that's in the balcony. you're, and I've noticed it with people. They become, you watch now, you guys notice, they'll start leaning forward. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I because I'm an observer of people, I have no talent. I mean, I've asked, no, really, it's true. I've asked Eric 100 times if I could play a dead body, and he's never on any stage of his. But anyhow, but you will notice the people leaning forward towards the actors. And to me, I guess I'm selling it to the audience. They know, but I will tell you, if you haven't been to the Unicorn and you haven't experienced the Unicorn, especially on a play of this depth, and there's so much meaning in almost every line, and I'm not an actor, but almost you can... I think back on my experience with it, and it, to me, I will tell you, it made me sad. It was haunting. It made me angry. All of the emotions. And I was on, and that's why I want you to go see it. Because I know today, what you want to get the same emotions? Watch television. Watch the news. That'll give you some emotions. And I do want to let people know, it started on Wednesday, May the 28th. And it goes through Wednesday, Thursday, 7 p.m. Opening press night is Friday, May 30th at 7 p.m. And then closing Sunday, June 15th at 2 p.m. Don't procrastinate. The one drawback on the Unicorn, it's not that big. But that's a good, that's a cross and a plus. That's what gives it the intimacy. Because it isn't that big. So you've already had a preview night. How did that go? No, you didn't have a preview.
Not yet. Week, going to previews.
A mind is a terrible thing to lose.
I thought we time traveled for a second. I was like, did we have a preview? I can't remember.
Yeah, I got to lighten up. But no, but I'm excited about this, as you can tell. And I'm a week ahead of myself. But I do want to... what was the most difficult thing? I'll start with Ula. What was the most difficult thing to get ready for this? Psychologically, what? How did you train yourself?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think that the most difficult, but also simultaneously, I think the most rewarding thing of the process has been creating a sense of ensemble and togetherness with the rest of the cast. And Eric has been talking a lot about the time from the start to the end and sort of telling the full story clearly and concisely. And I think that especially in a show like this, where there's a lot of different shifts between different scenes and different places, things can feel sort of discombobulated at times. But right. Working with the cast, especially for me as someone who's just starting out in theater, that's been the most, getting to know everyone and getting to sort of work everyone on the same page has been the hardest and the most exciting part of it all for me.
It must be. And just in that kind of an FYI for the audience, this young lady just graduated from Smith College.
I did, yes.
I read my vials. Hey, I'm a look stupid. Anna, how did you, same question.
Yeah.
To me, both of you are young and full of, and you're beautiful and you're full of life and you're smart. How down do you become a pinhead?
Well, I will say too, we also have Lillian Colvin with us, who's great. So I feel like the three of us are quite okay. The little ego. And yeah, I think what was most challenging, or what kind of still continues to be, is we're in a period of the rehearsal process where we're finding our tempo and our rhythm for the show. Good. And similar to what Lewis said, it's like that thread that is kind of carrying us through this whole show. And especially when we're changing characters so often, and sometimes we're involved in the transitions between scenes, it's important to like stay conscious of that. And so I feel like that is the thing that I'm most aware of at this point. And Eric is really like working with us on that too, and trying to find it.
It must be, and I don't want to put a negative on this, but it has to be challenging, unbelievably challenging to be a pinhead 1 minute and Miss Daisy the next or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. I mean, want to like keep up that energy all the time. But there's certain moments that like deserve a little more gentleness. And it's interesting. I feel like we all kind of naturally are finding this rhythm where we're like taking our time, but still like picking up cues and keeping up the energy. And it's just like a really cool thing to watch and be a part of.
And like you guys, and then you, Aaron, same with you. You're going from character to character. I'm going to say this kind of facetiously, but like in a nanosecond. I mean, I have a hard enough. I come down here 10 minutes into the studio, at least 10 to 20 minutes before I go on air, check all my, you know, highlighted stuff. And I've been doing this for 20 years almost. And I still get nervous in the first opening. And that's crazy. And I play one stupid role and I do it very well. I was thinking when I was reading the various roles, I said, how do they do it? How do you switch those, turn on the switch and turn it off?
That's a great question. I think at least for me, I'm predominantly trained in musical theater. So this is only the, outside of college, this is only the second non-musical I've done in my career for years. And I'm very thankful that Eric and Kate have the confidence in me to get to do this show. And I'm very excited about that. But I think because my training's in musical theater moves like 1,000 miles a minute. Being able to switch on a dime just kind of is ingrained in me. It could be a lot deeper, but for me, it's just a matter of compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
For me as an actor, I have the easiest visualization is I have like a little folder and like I'm on this page for this character, and then I just flip the page and I'm on the new character. And that's what rehearsals are great for, is working with Eric and working with any director and finding that character and establishing that character. Once you kind of have that established, it's a lot easier to separate those between. So switching characters is tough. At least for me, thankfully in this show, I have, I normally have a scene or two before I have to be in a different character. I have been in musicals where I am a character in one scene, I have a quick change, and I'm a new character in the right next scene. So this is a little easier. I have some time to like readjust into characters, but as actors, I think we all have our own ways of figuring out how to like flip back and forth when it comes to characters. But it's a tough thing, and it's something that as actors you just have to figure out. It helps to establish character and separate them. But I wanted to answer something that you asked earlier just about the difficulty of the show. I think for me, one of the biggest hardest parts of this show for me has been trying to figure out who the antagonist of the show is, because it's not necessarily one person. At least in my view. It's been a for me, it's been an interesting process just going through rehearsals and trying to what my personal view of like who I think the antagonist is, because I don't think it's any one person in this situation, in this show in general. And that I'm excited for the audience to see the show, and because I think that's a great question that the show brings up, other than the ideas of empathy and what it means to be empathetic, but also just the question of in this situation, who necessarily is the antagonist?
Okay.
So.
I'm getting some feedback from you, not the ladies, but I'm getting it from your, maybe it's me too, I don't know. But I just, if the station's getting it, hopefully they can edit it out. One of the other things too, that I want to say, a lot of background now all of a sudden. Oh, I'm sorry. I do think too, when we talk about this show, it sensitizes us. It should sensitize everybody in the audience. It's okay to be different. You're still a human being, you know. And when you guys play the pinhead, how does that touch you? How when you first found out about how did it touch you?
That's a tricky question. I think just like what we were saying earlier, I kind of read the script a few months out when we first got the offer, and I was like, oh, okay, these are like circus characters, whatever. And like we sing a little song and we have this like funny little scene. And like then I reread it a few more times, and once we were in rehearsals, I just was like opened to this, I like that they're really just human beings. And like by quick first assumption, even I, who am playing the character, was like, oh, these are just like whatever. And I think that they encourage or will encourage the audience to look deeper, and like we continue to have conversations about these characters and who they were as real people and like what they represent in this show. And they do come back a few more times throughout the play too. And there's always like a meaning behind that that like encourages the audience to think back to, I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to give too many spoilers. But yeah, I think they represent something similar to what Merrick represents in the play, which is what you said that, I mean, yeah, that everyone is human, no matter what their differences.
And I've had jobs in my life where I've had to work for people who've had all kinds of physical challenges, intellectual, and you know, if you just take time, and I guess this is not to you guys, this is directed at the audience. Take time and assimilate what they're portraying to you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Take that, you know, just don't. It's, I tell people all the time to go to, don't go to live theater with a thousand things on your mind, your cell phone going, your kids screaming. Don't go, because you won't enjoy it.
Sorry, there's automatic lights in this dressing room. Oh, there we go. There we
Oh, I thought I did something wrong again.
go. We were just so focused, we didn't even move for the last half hour.
Well, what I'm saying is, when you go to the theater, back, and you've heard me say this before, pack up all your cares and woes and troubles and worries, put a nice bow on and leave it at the door, and then go in and become involved with it. Be
Totally, you're right. It's just
part of
about,
it.
yeah, walking in, and I think this story, especially just being open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Open
I
to
think.
hundreds of messages.
Yeah, there's something really poignant to me about the fact that the the protagonist, the Elephant Man, John Merrick, that we're following, he's the most sensitive and the most kind and caring person there is, especially for the pinheads. I mean, there's a scene where, you know, they're shown being treated horribly, and then when he comes in, he just has a normal conversation and connects with them.
Yep.
And I think especially with how a lot of things currently in media and politics, there's a lot of emphasis on being sort of like the strong man and being, you know, the big kind of very macho, and an emphasis on not feeling or not caring for others. And I think it's really special that this show focuses and encourages the audience to connect with this man that's just wants to connect with everyone around him.
We got to take a break, otherwise I'll be in trouble again. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. There's a lot more. These are phenomenal actors and involved in an unbelievable play. A play that if it doesn't touch your heart, get to a cardiologist soon. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Want more confidence using technology? PCTV offers free classes to help you navigate the internet, protect your privacy, and use your devices with ease. Whether you're a beginner or need a refresher, we've got you covered. Sign up today. Call 413-445-4234 or visit pittsfieldtv.org. Empower yourself with digital skills because everyone deserves to stay connected. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I am here with just a wonderful group of actors. They are starring in The Elephant Man. And The Elephant Man is a production that will touch your heart. And if it doesn't, as I said before the break, see a cardiologist. Because I saw many years, long time, before any of them were born, probably. But it so affected me about, and I was growing up in a neighborhood who had a couple of kiddos with various issues. We'll leave it at that. And after I saw this play, I looked at them just like they are, human beings, no matter what they look like or what their ailment is or whatever. And if this doesn't sensitize you, it's being directed by the great Eric Hill. Anybody who's been in the Berkshires for any length of time knows how talented a dude Eric Hill is, and how wonderful this play is for touching your heart. And I don't know about you all. Oh, I got to say this. But this is my opinion. And, of course, you know, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the city of Pittsfield, Peter White in the city council, or the people riding their bicycles today in the pouring rain. So God only knows why. But I'm to get back. When this play ends, what will you three take away? Remember, ladies, you're muted. I'll go with Aaron.
When this show ends, it's going to, like I mentioned earlier, this entire show deals with the idea of empathy and how to be empathetic, and not only how to be empathetic and being empathetic, but exploring the ideas of, and this may be not the right way to word this, but even exploring the idea of weaponizing empathy. Are you empathetic for the right reasons? And which is probably a much deeper conversation, but the idea of, like, this show definitely helps you explore empathy and what it means to be empathetic, but where does that line of empathy start falling into other things?
Yes.
Are you being empathetic because you're actually empathetic, right, or are you empathetic because that is what, at the moment, society wants you to be empathetic
good
for?
Good point. Good point.
So I think the idea of empathy and just exploring your personal empathy is, for me, what I'm going to take away from this show. Okay. And it's definitely something, like, the roles I'm playing are not anything that's like very different from, like, the Pinheads, but me as a person, people who are listening who cannot physically see, I was born with a cleft lip palate and it was fixed, but growing up I was bullied a lot. I also grew up in a very rural area where I was the only person of color, and so I was bullied for that. So I was very much alienated as a child. So I relate heavily with this show, which is surprising that I didn't know this show that well prior to this, but I relate very heavily to Merrick in a very different way, but very similar way. Because obviously I was not exploited for any of it, but dealing with just what he dealt with society and people not understanding him. And honestly, for me, part of the reason that I'm an actor is because I was bullied and wanting to escape and be someone else. So, but for me, this is, I take away some very personal things from this show because I resonate with it.
Yeah, and I thank you for sharing all that with us, because I think it's important, because that's what makes you Aaron. You know, that's what, you know, gives you, all of you have this gift, and it is a gift. And in today's world and I'll step on you to get ahead a half a block. Well, that I grew up long ago with people, as I said, that had certain abilities and disabilities and all the other. And I know right now there's words if you say, but we started including them in our activities, playing ball. And one kid had CP, cerebral palsy, and he had really messed up arm and stuff. And he was so good at playing ball, I don't want to take it too much, but he would catch the ball in the glove, throw the ball back up in the air, snap the glove off, catch the ball, and throw it in the first base. And all of a sudden, you know, work on. He's amazing. So I applaud you, Aaron, for overcoming all that. There are mean people in the world. I don't know if we'll ever be rid of them. But thank you for sharing. You ladies, how do you, and I know I'm fixated on this because I could not do it. You're playing pinheads and then you go to various very formal kind of roles. How do you throw that switch?
I was thinking about this when you asked Aaron earlier, and I think my answer is that, like, over the last few years, I've had the opportunity to swing a lot of the shows that were happening here.
Yeah.
And I had to learn a lot of tracks, and something in my brain was able to store those different parts and, like, pull them out when I needed. And so I feel like it's that same part of my brain that is able to differentiate among the roles. And I also wanted to say too, Amy's costume design is already proving to be so beautiful. We haven't seen the finished product yet, but it's going to be really good. And I think even in just the two fittings I've had, I've been able to, like, feel a little bit how those people or how those characters should feel. I think for me personally, the costume is always kind of the cherry on top when it comes to, like, developing the character. Once you, like, put those clothes on, you're in a corset or you're in some high heels, or I don't know, I'm wearing poofy sleeves in one that makes me feel a little more like a princess. And I think that always, like, adds another layer.
I find the accents also help a lot, just being able to switch from one accent to another. And, you know, it's very, like, hoity-toity British or what have you. Yeah. And that really helps your body also switch in. And also another interesting thing is going from the pinhead characters, which I think we put a lot of focus into making them real people and not just caricatures of these performers, switching from them to these, you know, high class duchesses and princesses. We want to emphasize those people being sort of caricatures, sort of these, like, they're not real, you know, they're also play acting all the time. And so switching from the pinheads to that, I found actually easier to do just because I'm not trying to make these high class, you know, British society members real. I think they should be something, you know, something's wrong with them.
The insightfulness, as I remember the play, what you're bringing to this show is exactly what I walked out the door with. Empathy. There's people who, you're right, Aaron nailed it. There's people who have empathy because it's the avant-garde thing to have. I think we're seeing a lot of that today. But anyhow, it's also the other side of it is, if you really are empathetic for people, and working with so many people with challenges, they want to be treated the same, and they want to be understood not because of their disability, but they have it. And they are dealing with it. And they're basically, what they're saying to you is, you deal with it. I'm dealing with it. You deal with it. Yeah. Aaron's speaking from his own experience. And I just really believe that, and I said it at the beginning of the show, I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78, you can repeat yourself too. You have to see this play. It's timeless. Now, yes, it's set back in the era of the Orkneys and down there. Hello. But it's as timely today. The meaning of the story is the setting. Do you agree or disagree with that? I thought it's an open question.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think one of the takeaways I'm going to leave with after this is over is just that it's so special to have done this play right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like almost that people like will come see it and that theaters will still do it. And we are living in a world where art is being threatened, but there's like places that are still putting this stuff on and telling the real stories. And I think like too, like audiences can come in, the lights are off. They don't have to talk to anyone. They're just encouraged to sit there and feel. And I feel like there are so few places that allow for that to happen.
And I think that's good. As I said, people, nothing, you know, God love Kate McGuire. She'll announce it 400 times. Now shut off your cell phones. Don't forget, we're going to, and I love her to pieces. But there's these people that feel they're that important that whoever calls must talk to them immediately. And I just sometimes would like to say you're not really that important. So put the damn phone down. Because I've been in play. I won't mention the play. And we were at a section in this. So finally, I give him one of my Bill Sturgeon looks. And he says, this guy's looking at me. I better hang up. Well, yeah. I want to hear the play, not you talking to some wingnut on the phone. So, and believe me, I've dealt with wingnuts a lot in my life. But I do want to mention a couple of other people here, too, that I think some I've known for a while. Hannah, you were just saying about your costume maker. They don't call it that. What do they call it?
Yeah, costume designer.
Designer, yeah. Close enough. That has a lot to do with the play.
100%. I think her last name is Malvilla, right? Is that who's
it? Avila.
Avila. Whoops.
Amy
I'm because I'm not going to try to say it. I already messed up one
name. She's been to me for years. I mean, I've gotten to work with her quite a lot of shows, and she's so awesome. Her costume design for this, you can tell she really put in a lot of care and research into the period, and also is tying in a lot of theatrical elements to the costumes that, like, she really just has such a fluid concept through the whole thing. And I love what I've tried on so far.
and you know, I think, too, we let's give a shout-out to Jennifer, the dialect coach, because in this particular play, that is crucial. You know? And I know I messed up the Cockney. She probably won't be calling me to be on. But it worked in the bars in London, so that's all I can tell you. But seriously, what did it take to master that?
Lots of repetition. Jen will give us these sentences and words to repeat that have examples of different vowels. And so, you know, you get to, it's really funny, actually. It's very funny process because you're watching everyone around you like testing words in your mouth and that sort of thing.
We're all just in a room going goat.
Yeah.
Goat.
And I mean, and then just like listening to different examples of, oh, here's a Belgian accent, here's British received pronunciation. And then at the end of it, somehow you suddenly sound like you've lived in Britain your whole life and you know, living in a castle.
Well, and I would be remiss if I didn't shout out to my old friend, Jason Waxman, the stage manager. I bust him all the time, so like I bust Hannah's dad. But they're so talented in what they do, and I say these also for the audience because you see the actors, you see the play, but for every actor, there's like five people behind that person making that happen, from the lighting people to the sound people. And to me, Isadora Wolf movement, who would have, I mean, when people go see a play, these are things they never think about. And I like to bring out, they're kind of like the unsung heroes of live theater or of everything actually. So, but I just want to know, for my own sake, this is a very personal question. You don't have to answer it. You kind of answered it. I'll start with you, Aaron. Why did you go into acting?
When I went into acting, as I said before, growing up in a very rural area in Ohio, with my physical, with the physical issue I had, which, I mean, it was, by the time I was old enough, it was corrected, by like society standards corrected. And then, being one of the only people of color in the area, being bullied really pushed me into being an actor because it was an escape for me. It started as an escape, because I was, and thankfully now I pay a therapist that I talk to about this a lot. It was, I was so depressed and so tired of being who I was because of everything going on that I needed to escape and be someone else. And that's what acting helped me do. I got into children's theater when I was very young, did a lot of community theater. And then when I was in high school, did all my high school shows. And by then, even though I was still being bullied somewhat in high school, it went from being a coping mechanism to being, oh, I think I'm actually good at this. And I love doing it, but I think I actually might be good at this. And so I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. And then the practical side of me jumped in for a second. And I initially went to college for music education and then realized halfway through that I was not cut out to be a teacher. And so I switched to, I took the leap and, had a very long, very feeling. I felt very guilty telling my parents I wanted to be a performer and not a music teacher. My mom was an art teacher. I grew up around teachers. So, I was worried what they were going to say, and they were 100% behind me. They're like, this is what you want to do, do it. And they knew nothing about it. Neither of my parents are performers or anything to do with performing, singing, acting. So they have learned along the way about this business as well. So, but yeah, that's what... finished college with 2 degrees, one in music, one in acting, and been working professionally, thankfully, pretty consistently since I graduated back in the early 2000s. But
at least it was in this century.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was.
And as I've gotten older, I've had a love-hate relationship with being a performer, and it's hard. It's one of the, I wouldn't say it's the hardest job, but it is, it's difficult because there's a lot of stuff that people see us on stage and they're like, oh, that's your job. It's like, that's like a fraction of what the job is. I like to say performing is a reward.
Oh, that's how I was going to say, an outgrowth of a lot of hard work.
It is. Yes. It's an outgrowth of a lot of hard work, but it's, I like to see it as the reward of.
You nailed it. Right. Yeah.
Really, the job is everything that goes before the rehearsals, the auditions.
Yeah.
And then everything that goes around that. But yeah, in a long winded way, that's why I'm a performer.
I'll just say this and then I'll go to the ladies. We got about 5 minutes left. I'll say this. Actors are the most resilient people I know, because I know you go and you nailed it for an audition. You give it 100%. You're all prepared and the phone never rings. I can't tell you the number of people that I have known throughout my life who went to Broadway and came home.
Yeah.
Another piece, you can be as talented as all. You need the breaks. One of the things I'll say to you, and you guys already know it, and that is networking. Every actor that I have known has been successful or has worked a lot has networked because, oh, I worked with him on this. Give him a call. So, ladies, you got 4 minutes left. Tell me, same answer to that question.
Well, I find that, I guess I can kind of liken it to being like an adrenaline junkie almost.
Okay.
I really enjoy the sense of travel that I get without ever having left a room. I love that I can feel new feelings I've never felt before, been in situations I've never been in before, and do it all in one room. And it feels real. It feels like a truth. And so I feel like I'll never get sick of it. And so I have to keep chasing it.
Well, good. Hannah?
Yeah, I was like a super outgoing, chatty child. And my dad played piano. I would like sing over his shoulder every night. I always loved singing. I loved talking. And like my mom jokes that Aiden, my little brother, never talked until I like started letting him when he was like 3 or 4, because I would just do all their talking. And I went and saw a play or a musical with, it was the Just So Stories, like the books that Rudyard Kipling wrote.
Yeah, yeah. About, like,
why the leopard has its spots or the elephant has its trunk. Oh, Elephant Man, there we go. And I went with my grandmother and I was like, wait a second. There's people that will get on stage in front of other people and just like perform and sing for them. Like I had no idea that was even a thing. And then I was like super addicted. And I just loved the process of it all. And then I like started to learn more about myself when I was learning about other people and like exploring different parts of myself. And so that was like why it always stuck. And yeah, haven't looked back since.
Well, I will tell you all, I plan on, I don't know when, but I plan on being at the one of the productions of Elephant Man. And I want you to be prepared for this. I'm going to yell, hey, I know them. Don't worry. Don't let it, and then I get thrown out. It happens every time. But I kid. I can't thank you enough for getting up early, coming on. And as they say in the theater, break a leg, but also... thank you for your gifts. You're sharing your gifts, and they are gifts. They are gifts. Not everybody can get up on that stage and perform. And for the audience, this is Elephant Man. Previews Wednesday, May the 28th, 7 p.m., Thursday, 29th, 7. Opening press night, May the 30th, 7 p.m., closing June 15th, the 2 p.m. show. Now, don't procrastinate. The Unicorn is a wonderful theater, but it's not that big. So what I'm going to ask you to do is get your tickets now. I'm pleading with you, see this play and become part of it. Sit in that Unicorn and absorb their talent, their acting, but the story. And see and ask yourself, how can I be a sincerely better person? And I work at it every day. I'm not perfect, but I try to be as the best person I can be that day. And so thank you so much. I got an announcement. You don't have to stay. It's just about the Memorial Day Parade. The Memorial Day Parade will be held on Monday, May 26th. The parade will start at City Hall Plaza. I never saw that before, Plaza. 70 Allen Street, 9 a.m., and proceed to the cemetery for a ceremony. Please arrive if you're going to march or be part of the parade by 8:45. As I always say, Memorial Day is a hard day for me. I'm not going to kid. I'm not. I left a lot of friends in Vietnam, a lot of acquaintances, and I would just ask, patriotism is a learned trait. That's all I'm going to say. Take care, everybody. Be well. God bless. And to all of you out there, try to lift somebody's burden today. Make them smile. Phone call. Give somebody a call. Visit. Whatever. We're all in this together, and we all need each other. Thanks, kids. And remember, I'll be the guy in the back yelling.